Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Our guest today is New Jersey foster and adoptive mom, Sally Ann Rann. Welcome, Sally Ann.
Thank you. Glad to be here with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. So, Sally Ann, you and your husband, Ben, are parents to three homegrown kids. It's what I like to call bio kids. Charlotte is 12, Calvin 11, and Madeline is 7. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I have a cheat sheet, so don't be too impressed. But you've also adopted two children through foster care. Julian is now 8 and Jacqueline is 7. So you already had biological children. What led you and Ben to consider foster care and adoption?
Foster care and adoption is, well, adoption at least, is something that Ben and I had talked about. We started dating when we were 16 and 17 years old, and it was sort of always part of our conversation. We went off to college, came back, we got married, had kids, life sort of went on, and that conversation got less and less frequent. But I always had this little nagging feeling like there was something else. And about every 2 or 3 years, I would say to him, "Hey, are we doing the right thing? Are we supposed to be missionaries in Africa, or should we be, like, living in a hut somewhere?" We were living outside New York City with two kids at the time. I was a stay-at-home mom. We had a house and a car, and we had had a dog, and it just seemed so easy. So when the kids were 2 and 1 years old, I brought that up again. Are we doing the right thing? And that verse you read in the beginning, Psalm 27:4, was always in the back of my mind. I just wanted to do what God wanted me to, and if this is what he wanted, that was fine. But I wasn't sure. So I said to him, when they were 2 and 1 years old, "Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? I feel like maybe it's too easy, or we're supposed to be somewhere else." And he just looked straight at me and he said, "I think it's because you just don't have a ministry right now that you feel that way." And to be honest, I got really angry with him because at the time I was home. I had two kids that were 15 months apart. I was running the Sunday school program at our church as a volunteer. I was teaching a Bible study class for little kids during the week. I felt like I was doing a lot. So after I got over my anger with him, I started just saying to God, maybe there is something else. Is there another ministry that you want me to have? And as I prayed through that over the next couple of weeks, I felt this firm but quiet voice say to me, "You need to adopt." And I thought, oh boy, that was more than I was asking for. So I kind of gathered my courage over a couple more weeks, and I went back to Ben and I said, I think we're supposed to adopt. What do you think about that? And I was ready for some resistance, but actually he didn't give me any. And he said, okay, let's look into it. Let's see where it goes. So that sort of just began our process. That little conversation snowballed, and I started looking into different agencies and figuring out what we were going to do. And my dream was always this very wonderful idea of getting on an airplane and going to another country and meeting the baby of my dreams and bringing that baby home. And it was just going to look so perfect. And then we found out how much international adoption actually cost. And it was not even that much years and years ago, but it's expensive. And I was home with the kids, and Ben's a teacher, and he said, "I don't know if that's going to work." But I kept on searching, and we actually connected with a little baby in Vietnam, and a friend of mine was in Vietnam on a missions trip, and she said, "I've got this baby, and I really want to get him home to the States. He needs more care." So we started talking to the adoption agency, maybe about just this one little guy. And at the time, Vietnam was the least expensive, and I thought, I know that there's aid out there. There's ways that you can apply for grants, and if it's God's will, it's going to happen. And then that little baby ended up going to the hospital, and within days, he passed away from RSV. So God closed that door again, and it just, international just wasn't what he was calling us to. He calls a lot of people to it, but it wasn't what he was calling us to, even though it's what I thought I wanted. And in the meantime, I had gone to sort of an open house seminar by the state of New Jersey's foster care system and gotten the paperwork for that. So I thought, well, maybe I'll fill that out. We'll see where that goes. So I made that phone call, and they came right away. Great, fill this out. Get started. And so we put our papers in and said, we only want to adopt. We can't foster. It's too hard for us. We can't give kids back. Emotionally, it'll just drain us. We're only going to adopt. And I said, that's fine. The process is the same. So that your license for adoption or foster care is the same. So just go through the process. If you want to adopt, though, it's going to be at least 2 to 5 years because most of the kids that get adopted are in a foster placement first. He said, that's fine. And we went through the paperwork, and the little ones were getting a little older, and my 2-year-old turned to be a 3-year-old, and my 1-year-old was an 18-month-old. And as we went through the process and kept thinking, man, in 5 years, my 3-year-old will be 8. Do we want to wait that long? We kind of wanted all our kids close together. And so I just felt this same sense in my spirit, maybe we should foster. And we'll just do foster to adopt. We'll see what happens. I'll get that first baby and they'll never go home. So again, I mentioned to Ben, and I said, I don't know, what I think maybe we should foster. And he looked at me again. He said, I think so too. So surprised me. And there we went. And so we kind of just went through the whole process to get certified. And then when it was almost time to be certified, he just said to me, you know, I'm getting cold feet. I need to see that this worked in another family. I need to see another family who went through this and everything was okay. And at the time, the pastor, the assistant pastor of our church, had some adopted kids and some biological kids, and his biological kids were actually our age, and they were our friends, and his youngest adopted kid was a teenager, and they were turning out just great. His marriage was great, and everything was fine. And I said, well, what about Pastor? And he said, oh, yeah, it did. They're right there. It worked out great. They were a biracial family. They had special needs. They did the whole gamut, and they made it. So that was sort of the last little God piece to say, I've got this. You guys can do this. And so we went through the process and got our name on the fostering list, which we never thought we would do. And we were always fostered to adopt, but we ended up fostering quite a few kids before Jacqueline and Julian ended up being the ones that we were able to adopt. So from bringing that baby home on an airplane to saying goodbye to a lot of kids, it wasn't my plan, but that's what God had for us and our family.
Wow. And you fostered about 9 years. And then Julian and Jacqueline came into your family. So tell us about that.
So once we got our foster care license, then you just kind of go on this list and you wait. And so our first phone call took a really long time, something like 8 or 9 months. And we waited so long, and I'm just not the most patient person, that we ended up trying for another baby. So I end up being pregnant by the time we get our first foster placement. So I'm pregnant, and I've got a foster baby and 2 little ones. So I, you know, every time I go into the store, people look at me like I'm crazy. But for the first time, I feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is that hard thing that God has asked me to do. And that little foster baby was just wonderful. And she ended up getting adopted by a family that had her biological brother. And then we had a couple of other kids come and go and come and go. And then at this point now, my third child, Madeline, is born. We have 3 kids. We end up moving to a house that has maybe an extra 100 square feet, which means that now we're licensed not just for one foster child. We could potentially take 2. We had only taken 1 at a time. And so after we move and we settle, we get 1 little guy who has a lot of special needs, and we hold on to him for about a month before he goes to a grandma. And then a long period of time goes by where we don't have any phone calls. Months go by. So I call up my social worker and I say, you know, we would consider taking 2. Maybe just for short term, but we would consider it because we have this space in the bedrooms now and we were certified for 2. So less than 48 hours go by and she calls me back and says, we have 2. We have a brother and a sister. Will you take them tomorrow? And so we gather all the information and ask all the questions that we do. And they told us it could go either way. You know, they might go home to their biological family. They might not. We're not sure, but they're already in foster care. They had been in foster care since infancy, one of them from the hospital and one of them as a baby, at about a nine-month-old. And so they had been moved a number of times, and they really wanted somewhere that they could stay if they couldn't go home. And so it took us a little while to come to a yes on that one. Usually we decide within about 5 minutes. That one was a little bit of a long yes, but we said yes. And sure enough, they were home within 24 hours from that phone call to our house. And that was in 2012. They're still here.
Wow. Now, you said they were moved around a lot, and they'd really been in the system since infancy. I assume there was trauma.
There was a lot of trauma from that. I had thought that getting a 2- and 3-year-old should be just as easy as getting a baby. When we had babies, it was pretty easy. I fed them a bottle, I snuggled them, I bonded with them, and I sort of thought, well, 2 and 3 is really, really young. It'll be fine. And I was really wrong. These little guys had been moved a number of times, and our older guy, we were his fifth move by the time he got to us, and he had just turned 3. And his sister had been moved, I think, one less time than that. They had been in different foster homes. They had been in different biological homes. She had been living in a shelter for a little while. They both had prenatal exposure to drugs and alcohol. So all of those things really played into the fact that when they got to our house, they turned our lives upside down, not by any fault of theirs, but by the fault of the trauma and the cards that life just dealt them. And so their behaviors were really, really erratic, very, very hyper, very, very defiant, unsafe things like running into the street, running away from us. If they would get hurt, they would run away instead of come towards us for a scraped knee, and we'd have to go find them. Borderline dangerous to our other kids who are still fairly young. And so we just didn't know what to do. We had parented lots of children before, and up until that point thought we were kind of good at this parenting thing.
Mm.
And they really surprised us and felt like there were moments when I thought, I don't know if I can do this. I'm not sure that I have the tools, the parenting tools, and the patience to work through these different behaviors.
Mm. So how did your family get the help that you needed?
Yeah, we started, every state, I'm sure, has a system. New Jersey has an early intervention system. And so we started there because Jacqueline was under 3 years old. And so we called the state and got as much as they could give us. So she got physical therapy at home. And then we went through our local hospital. He got occupational therapy for some sensory needs. And that sort of just began us trying to figure out and absorb everything the professionals could tell us. The problem was every professional told us a little bit of something different. We saw developmental pediatricians. We were able to get in-home therapy from a therapist. It took about three or four therapists for us to find someone that was willing to dig deep into what trauma did for foster care and adoptive kids, and that was different than a regular child who had just been raised sort of the way it's supposed to be, born into a family and taken care of and never moved. And so, but all of these people were just telling us different things. And I was trying to put it all together, and I spent a lot of time just Googling different behaviors and Googling foster care help and Googling adoption help. And so as I put all the pieces together, also in my Googling, I came upon Tapestry Ministries in Texas, and Tapestry had sort of partnered and started something called Empower to Connect, and that was a ministry just for foster care and adoptive parents to give them support. And so as I looked into them and read their blog and tried to watch short videos that they had on their website, they took everything that all of these different professionals could tell me bits and pieces of, and they put it all together, and it all started to make sense. And every time I read something by then, I thought, that's my kid. That's what's going on. And that began our path down Empower to Connect and learning how to parent differently. And that really changed our family and changed how we take care of these kids that are now our kids after being fostered for a long time, they were finally adopted. And now we know how to help them and how to love them and how to help them receive love. And it's changed our family for them and for us.
I'm just going to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, you can visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. My guest today, joining us from New Jersey, is foster and adoptive mom, Sally Ann Ran. Sally Ann and her husband, Ben, are parents to three homegrown kids and two children adopted through the foster care system there in New Jersey. And we were talking about how your family found help and healing really through the tools, through Empower to Connect. So for our listeners to understand, Empower to Connect is based on trust-based relational intervention, a model developed by the late Dr. Karen Purvis and her colleagues at Texas Christian University Institute of Child Development. Dr. Purvis is also the author of the book, The Connected Child, a must-read for every foster and adoptive parent, my opinion. TBRI is taught from a Christian perspective and is available to parents through the Empower to Connect simulcast, the empoweredtoconnect.org website. They have resources and also Empowered to Connect Parent Training, which is a course for parents. Through Empowered to Connect, you will gain a better understanding of your child's history, what we bring to the parent-child relationship as parents and caregivers, the importance of attachment, the impact of fear, the importance of meeting your child's holistic needs, including sensory and nutritional needs. Sally Ann and Ben are Empowered to Connect parent trainers now in New Jersey, as is my husband Wayne and I here in New York. So Sally Ann, with Empowered to Connect, your family found the tools. You began to really understand what was going on with your kids. What did you find? What tools did you find were the most helpful in your family?
There are a few things that we did right away that really changed our parenting game. When we would get frustrated with our kids because their behaviors were so erratic, our go-to was to send kids to timeout, because that's what every parenting book had told us to do. They just need a timeout. Honestly, I'd put my little guys in timeout from the time they were like 18 months, and it just didn't work, but I didn't know what else to do. So one of the parenting tools through Empowered to Connect is a time in. Because when you send kids away that have been removed from caregivers and parents, they just feel even farther isolated. And so much of TBRI and connected parenting is helping the kids develop a bond and a connection and an attachment. So instead of sending them to their room or sending them to go sit on the couch in a different room than me, I started saying to them, you have a time in. And if I was cooking in the kitchen, they sat on the floor next to me. Or if I was at the table doing some paperwork, they had to sit in a chair next to me. So they were still having to stop whatever their behavior was. But instead of sending them away, I kept them close to me. And it's such a small change, but it made such a big, big difference in our family. And then the other thing that we started doing was when they would do something that wasn't appropriate. So they had just some crazy quirks. They'd walk down the stairs backwards all the time, and it's so dangerous. They were constantly falling, and I would just keep saying, you need to walk down the stairs the right way. You need to walk down the stairs the right way, and I was losing my mind saying it over and over. You feel like a broken record, as most parents do. But one of the Empowered to Connect tools is the redo. So instead of saying, you need to walk down the stairs the right way, I would say, please go back upstairs and turn around and come down the stairs facing the right way. And then they would just redo it. And I couldn't believe the first time I asked them to do it, they just said, okay, and they went up and redid it. And that was the end of it. And before, that would have just maybe turned into an argument, or they would have been upset, or they would have stomped off. And now they went upstairs, came down the stairs normally. We use that and have been using it all the time, to the point where now sometimes I just look at my son and he says, I'm going to go redo that now. And he'll either walk back up the stairs or, you know, do it the right way, or he'll exit the room and come back in and enter calmly because he came in yelling and screaming. And so those two things, if I had to boil it way down, have been game changers for the way that we parent our kids. And we can also do the same thing with our biological kids. There's no reason that I have to send Madeline to time out. She can do a time in with me too. Every kid needs something different, but these tools really work for your kids that have been through trauma, but you can use them across the board with all your kids. So it's just so extremely valuable. And I know I've said it so many times, but it's just been a game changer for our family.
And not only for your family, as Empowered to Connect parent trainers, can you share a success story from your experience as trainers?
Yeah, so when we signed up to become trainers, we actually didn't really know what we were getting into. We were looking to start a foster care adoption ministry at our church because I always had people in my life that I could call and say, I don't know what to do about what's happening with my foster kids right now. Or I don't know what to do because the state is telling me this and I don't know what that means. So I always had these women in my life that were about 20 years my senior that had been there and done that. And I was finding that people in our church just didn't have those resources and I was their only resource. So we were looking to start something at our church. And so I hooked up with Elizabeth Acapinti, who runs Miriam's Heart in South Jersey, and we're in North Jersey. And she said to me, you know what? In August, in just a couple of months, they're having this conference at our church, and you need to be there. You need to come. You and your husband, you would be perfect. So I just said, okay. I signed us up. My husband had no idea what he was getting into. And then we get like this 8 or 9 week intensive homework. I mean, I felt like I was getting a doctorate with 20 hours a week.
I hear you.
And, you know, you've been there. And then the 3-day intensive training. And then we ended up coming home. It changed our family, and then we were able to share this with other people. So we've been able to walk alongside people that maybe wouldn't have been able to make it through their foster care situation and give them the tools to keep going, because you can parent these kids differently in a way that works better. We had one family who, their adoption has been finalized for a really long time. He's a fourth grader, and they were just so struggling, though. They got him as an infant, but he's just tough. Kids who have been through trauma can be tough. And school was always hard. Home was always hard. So they came to our class this winter and started implementing the tools. And while things are still hard, they're not so tough. And things were getting better. And so they started to share some of the things with the teachers at his school and said, you know what, try the redo, see how that works. And another tool that they shared with the teachers at school were try 7-to-1. Every negative compliment, try to have 7 positive things to say. If you keep that in the back of their in your mind, give him more praise so that the downside doesn't seem so far down. The other thing that they told the teachers at school was usually kids that have experienced trauma really can often function at about half their age. So even though maybe he's 9 right now, sometimes he's going to act like he's 4.5 or 5 years old. So if you reset your expectation and realize that that's where their brain is at right now, it won't be so frustrating. And I happened to run into this mom. The class had been over for a couple of months, and I ran into her at Starbucks. She said, I have to tell you, I just came from his meeting at school, his IEP meeting, and the teacher said he has had the biggest year of growth ever because they implemented the Empowered to Connect principles that I shared with him, and it made his school year so much better. He was really able to learn more. He was able to function in the classroom more. And so these principles are awesome at home, but we can share them with teachers and grandparents and caregivers, because the more consistent these kids can get in this kind of continued trusting and attachment style, they can really just do so much better.
Oh, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I know it's been a game changer in our family as well. And the training that we've offered here in New York to families when we've offered the course, we hear the same feedback that just those tools, a whole new toolbox full of new tools that actually work and make a difference in the behavior of their kids and in their family. So, Sally Ann, as we wrap up here today, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear?
I would say if you are fostering or adopting now, or you are frustrated, or maybe you're at the beginning of your journey, don't do it alone. We tried to do it alone for a really long time. I had these people I could call, but I didn't really have a support system. And I learned from going to Empowered to Connect and even becoming a trainer and being with other people who are walking this road, there are so many people out there that are in the same boat as you. And we all need another hand to grab onto when the water gets really, really rocky. And so listening to interviews like this, reading books like Empowered to Connect, finding groups that are within churches, support groups, going to finding a parent trainer class, don't do it alone, because there are so many resources out there for us, and it's so much easier to do it with someone else that's walking your same path than it is to do it on your own. So find that community. It may take a little digging, but we're all out there, and it's so much more gratifying and doable when you're doing it with other people.
Yeah, I think the word says iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. We need each other, and especially this community of foster and adoptive parents. It can be a lonely journey, and you know, your best friend next door who might have all the answers to help you with your biological kids, those answers are not going to work with kids from hard places. So you need to I think our buddy Mandy Litsky says, find your tribe, find your, you know, like-minded individuals who, you know, foster and adoptive families that are walking the same path, and we need to support and encourage one another. And you definitely can find that through Empowered to Connect as well.
Yeah, so true, Sandra.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Sally Ann, for sharing your story and for joining us today on the show.
You're welcome. Glad to be here, and I hope it helps other people along their journey.
Us too. And if our listeners would like to learn more about Empower to Connect parent training, you can go to their website, empoweredtoconnect.org, to find a parent trainer near you. If you're in New Jersey, you'll probably find the Okapintis and Sally Ann and Ben Ran. And in New York, you'll find my husband Wayne and I, Sandra Flack and Wayne Flack. And we can teach the Empower to Connect Connect course for parents with parenting kids from hard places. You can also contact me at my website and at my email if you would like to learn how you can take the class. And my email is Sandra Flack with an H, JFO@gmail.com. I hope you enjoyed today's show. You can listen to more episodes of Orphans No More right on our website at justicefororphansny.org. You can also help us continue our radio ministry by making a tax-deductible gift to JFO. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. JFO inspires, educates, and equips the body of Christ toward adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry. Again, I'm Sandra Flack, your host and executive director of JFO. I would love to come and share with your church, small group, women's ministry, or youth group about why and how we must walk out James 1:27. To learn more, visit us at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.